Welcome to God or Jing. I'm your host, Nani Salas. We've all had people to forgive in our lives, and very often those situations that lead up to the need for forgiveness are not very pleasant, not very pleasant by far. And I can speak from firsthand experience. And so can my guest tonight, Cal Spencer, who has been on the show before, and I have always enjoyed having him back. Well, tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness and how you can absolutely use forgiveness to transform your life. Forgiveness really is a key to awakening, a key to enlightenment. Now, why is that? Well, if you think of it like this, that if God is love, and I truly believe that God is love, and I know many of you out there also believe the same, and if we are trying to ascend towards God, then the way in which we ascend must be through the act of love. So the more we choose love, the more we ascend. And every time we don't choose love, well, we don't ascend. This doesn't mean that there's a punishment, but this does mean that, you know, you get what you choose in every moment of every day. And so when you choose love, you ascend towards God. Well, sometimes it's very hard to choose love based on situations and experience and relationships. We all know that. And so when you can't choose love, then maybe it's time to choose forgiveness. So forgiveness is this divine pathway that leads us to love, and love leads us to the divine or to God. So tonight, I want you to think about all the people in your life that you have to forgive. And maybe it's yourself. And I'm also going to guess that if there's anybody to forgive out there in the world, that it's really yourself that you have to forgive. And so in just a moment, we're going to do a meditation. But before we do, I'd like to share this story. And it's from this book by Neil Donald Walsh. And it's called Little Soul and the Sun. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a little boy soul. Now, I don't know if little souls are boys or girls, but in this story, they are. And so there was a little boy soul, and he went to God, and he said, God, I want to learn about everything. And God said, that's a wonderful thing, little soul. What would you like to learn about first? And the little boy soul thought, well, how about forgiveness? Yes, I'd like to learn about forgiveness first. And God said, that's a perfect thing to learn about, but you'll need somebody to forgive. Well, the little boy soul got very sad because he had no one to forgive. And so he thought and he thought and he said, I don't know what to do because I have no one to forgive. And just then a little girl soul popped up and she said, I can help you. And the little boy soul, he said, you can. And she said, oh yes, little boy soul, how are you going to help me? And the little girl soul said, well, we're going to go down to that planet there called Earth, and we're going to forget that we know each other and forget who we really are. And I'm going to do something, and we'll meet one day, and I'm going to do something so horrific to you that you'll have the opportunity to forgive me. And the little boy soul got very excited. He said, you would do that for me? Why would you do such a beautiful and generous thing for me? And the little girl soul looked at him, and she said, because I love you. But you'll have to do something for me. And he said, anything, I'll do anything for you. And she said that in order for me to do this horrific act to you, I'm going to have to forget who I am. And so it's going to be your job to remember who you are and who I am too, so that we can return here. And the little boy soul said, absolutely, I'll remember you. And truly, when we look deep enough, this is what we see. That if we think that there's anyone to forgive or anything to do, then we haven't looked deep enough. That when we look deep enough, we see that there are these sacred agreements, that there are these sacred contracts that allow us to find ourselves at even greater levels. And yes, sometimes we do make these agreements to do horrific things to each other so that we have an opportunity to learn something or to wake up or to be someone. And so tonight, I invite you to embark on forgiveness. I invite you to use forgiveness to find love and to ascend and to discover who you really are. And so let's do a meditation. And I invite you to close your eyes if you're in a safe place. And take a deep breath. And take another one after that. And drop into your heart. all the way down into your heart. And what does it feel like in your heart? Is it tight or is it open? And if it's tight, this means that there might be something to forgive. And go there. Go to any place that seems a bit tight or constricted. And see what's there. See what shows up. And maybe some darkness shows up, or maybe a shadow shows up, or maybe a memory from childhood shows up, or maybe a person shows up. Whatever shows up, just allow it to show up and allow it to surface, because this is what's asking to be forgiven now. And so, take another deep breath. That's beautiful. And allow that breath to come all the way down into your heart, and this time to bring light and love with it. Allow that light to move through the breath and into your heart, enlightening any dark places in your heart, going to whatever memories might have come up or people that might have appeared. And allow this light to flow through your whole heart. And you might even notice that your heart feels lighter or gets pinker, or you feel more love or more peace. And as this light fills your entire heart, melting away any shadows and darkness, enlightening your heart and enlightening your love, that you notice that there's so much light and so much love in your heart that your heart cannot even hold it in, and it overflows and moves out of your heart, moves through your whole body from head to toe and toe to head, so that now your whole body is filled with love and light. And you begin to realize that you are this love and light, that you are light and you are love. And find that little place inside you that knows that we truly are innocent, and that you are innocent, and whoever it is that you feel you need to forgive is innocent too. And today, by the end of the show, maybe you actually will experience yourself as innocent, and everyone else in your life is innocent if you don't already. And this is my invitation to you. So take another deep breath. And just stay in your heart. And I invite you to listen actively to the rest of Goddess from your heart and not just from your head. And so without further ado, Cal, thank you so much for being with me here tonight and to share this very sacred conversation of forgiveness.
Thank you. I'm more than welcome, or more excited to be here.
Yeah.
To carry on these conversations.
Yes.
And they're just conversations of life. We all have those.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be shared.
Yes.
And like, how did you get to where you are?
Mm-hmm.
And your spiritual self? How do other people get there?
Right.
And we so need to share these stories. Or else people won't know how to get there. It's like paving the way.
Right. And I don't want anybody to miss a word, so I'm going to ask you maybe to move a little closer to the microphone just in case we... Yeah, that's better. Yes, absolutely. That when we share these spiritual stories of how we got from point A to point B, that it makes all the difference in the world to help other people do the same.
Yeah, and their path is different than ours. But we all start at the same place. And it's really trying to figure out who you are and what your beliefs are.
Right.
And by sharing with other people, then they can, you know, maybe take a shortcut to mm-hmm. find theirs. But the path to find it is their own. But my belief is to be able to help them and find that for themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And so this conversation of forgiveness, this is a powerful topic. And I'm sure we have people out there listening now saying, I can't forgive, you know, Aunt Millie for what she did at my wedding. And I can't forgive, you know, my ex-husband or my ex-wife. Or I can't believe my son. And you've experienced a lot of things in your life, too, that took some forgiving.
Yes. In fact, I just had one over the weekend with my brother. And he's an alcoholic. And he had spent the last 3 weeks with my mother. And they're both alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And my mother almost bled to death from drinking on this binge for 3 weeks. And luckily, she was found by my other sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really been hard for everyone to forgive my brother. And I totally have forgiven him.
Yeah.
And I see the gift that he was given. My mother was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice, meaning her life, for him to quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he takes it or not, that's his choice. But I do forgive him.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
What does it feel like? So to say you forgive him means that there must have been a point where you were kind of angry at him, at the least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wanted to wring his neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what right do you have to do this to our mother?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I also see she had a choice, too.
Of course.
You know, she had a choice of him being at her house, because what had happened is his wife had kicked him out of their home, and she had had enough of his drinking.
Yes.
And so he had nowhere to go. And I actually had this conversation with my mother before my brother moved in,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about it. And her comment was, I said, well, why will you let him move into your house? And my mother said, I will not let any of my children live on the street,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Yes.
And so she'd actually forgiven him before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it had to happen before mm-hmm. I had something to forgive him for.
Right. So your mom had a drinking problem before this.
Yes.
And when he moved in, it activated the whole drinking.
It accelerated her.
Yes, drinking. And he knew this. He knew that it was dangerous for your mom to drink because she's got other physical challenges, that drinking could be very, very serious.
Yes.
And so he allowed that to happen. And you initially, you know, so your mother's part in it because we're all responsible, but really blamed your brother quite a bit.
Oh, yes. And the whole family has, and they still are.
Yeah.
Because it happened, I don't know, a couple months ago. He mm-hmm. was just there for a weekend or a week. It wasn't too long. And the same thing happened.
Yeah.
So, and so it was like the road had been paved.
Right. And so there was a moment where you went from anger and blame to forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah. How did that happen?
It was, she's still in the hospital at this moment, and they had to remove half of her stomach because she had a bleeding ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3-week binge, there was no food eaten between the two of them to really fill a bucket of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, her ulcer started bleeding even more, so they taken her to the hospital and had to remove her half of her stomach and most of her upper intestine. And so when I was at the hospital, about 2 days after the surgery, my brother come walking in. And I knew at that very moment that I couldn't have the conversation I would like to have with him,
mm-hmm.
and this angry conversation,
yes.
in front of my mother and the nurse and his 20-year-old daughter. And so at that very moment, I made the conscious decision to forgive him.
Wow.
And to truly let him see what gift he was given.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was to get angry at him, he would just blame it on me. And it would be, I would have ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't going to take ownership of his actions.
Yeah.
I was just going to forgive him and explain to him what happened. Because he was so unconscious in his drinking,
mm-hmm.
he didn't even understand what had happened to our mother, the struggle she had been through. He was so drunk, he didn't know his own birthday when the police came.
Yes.
And so he sobered up. He went to the hospital and checked himself in and sobered up. But he was totally unaware, really, what he'd done to a degree.
That's pretty big metaphor for, I think, most people, that we're just not aware that when we do something to hurt someone else or even ourselves, that we're just not aware. Maybe we're not drunk on alcohol, but we're drunk in the sense of our awareness or our senses or our consciousness is impaired. And that may have to do with our past wounds and injuries or, you know, what we're willing to take responsibility for now. But it's very similar.
Well, I think it's the same as, you know, when we get to that point, we feel sorry for ourselves. We've been, you know, had a bad love relationship or a bad friendship, and someone done something wrong to us, and we're never going to forgive them.
Right.
And so we're stuck in that pain.
Yes.
And the unforgivable pain. And it's really hard to get out of that. I mean, I think everyone has been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have something that someone has done to us and caused us that pain. But what I always come back to is I think of, well, are they doing it to me now?
Mm.
You know, is that actually, is that person causing you pain now?
Right.
And they're usually not.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually gone from our lives.
Yeah.
But we have this wound that we're an attachment to them.
Right.
That they hurt us once. And I think we keep that guard up so that they'll never hurt us again. Well, when we do that, then we block it for everyone else
right.
to come into our lives.
Right. That is whatever amount of anger we hold towards anyone, we hold towards everyone. That it literally is a barrier in our hearts energetically and doesn't let love in. So it's like we can't experience love any greater or less than the ability that we release all grievance and forgive.
Well, to think about when you have the anger for someone, where are you sending the anger into the universe? I mean,
right. Well, into your body.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you're sending it to everything and everyone. So it's like if I have anger towards you, and I can't imagine ever having that, but if I did, that I would be sending out that vibration of anger, of judgment through my whole body. I'd be sending it to you. I'd be sending it to everyone that I get in contact with because it's in my energy field. Even if I'm not thinking about it. Even if we don't see each other for 3 years, it's still there. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is that everything that we do, think, feel, believe directly affects everyone else on this planet, that we are that linked, that there's no, like, 5 degrees of separation, that we are directly linked to everyone and everything. And whatever I do affects the whole, and whatever you do affects the whole. So if I'm holding anger, it's going to directly affect everybody on this planet. And that's a pretty powerful statement, and it takes a lot of responsibility, but it's really how we change the world. So, you know, we've all heard that you change the world when you change yourself. Well, most people have heard that, I think, at this point. And really, this is what it comes down to, that if I'm unhappy with something that's going on in the world, that I need to look inside myself. If I see war, well, where is the war inside myself? And it might be that I haven't forgiven someone, or it might mean that I'm judging someone or myself.
Yes.
And instead of, you know, trying to change what's happening out there, I change what's happening inside here, which means that I forgive and I let go and, you know, I move closer to love and whatever that takes. And as I shift inside, the world shifts. And so as each one of us takes responsibility for our own feelings and our own experiences and we make the necessary shifts to move towards love, then what we're going to see is we're going to see a harmonious world because it could be no other way. And this is how we each have the power to change the world.
Yes, by loving each other.
And loving ourselves.
And I think that's what forgiveness really is to love.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is...
to choose love.
To choose the love.
Yeah.
Because if you don't forgive, you've chosen to hate.
Mm.
And I don't think anyone wants to live in hate because when you do, you're totally blocked.
That's a powerful statement. That if you don't forgive, what you're doing is choosing hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's going to make some people pay attention.
And I see it that way because I've experienced that in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I made the choice to forgive, love just walked into my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what I said earlier in the show about, like, when we look deep enough, we realize that there's really nothing to forgive. And I have many stories like this, and one story that I like to share is probably the most profound story, and you've heard this, and I may have shared it on Goddardy before, and that was when, you know, when I was 16, 17 years old, I was in this horrifically abusive relationship and barely got out with my life, but obviously did, and it took me years to heal, and I went through just a huge healing process and grieving process and so much, you know, just, it was a very, very long process of finding myself for the first time, actually. And, you know, at some point, I thought I forgave him. I forgave him. And we even met. And I felt complete forgiveness for him. And years went by, and I learned, and I grew and evolved. And I got to a point, a deeper point of forgiveness. Oh, that's a deeper place of forgiveness. And it evolved still. And it doesn't seem to end. And about, I don't know if it was about 2 years ago or somewhere around then, I was shown why he came into my life, and I was shown a deeper truth. And one of those truths that I was shown was that I was completely responsible, and there was nothing to forgive, in the sense that it was in my energetic pattern that I was already abusing myself. That I had such low self-worth that I was already abusing myself, didn't know it, and I needed a physical manifestation in the physical world to show me what I was doing to myself. And so he volunteered for the job, kind of like little soul in the sun.
What is that story?
Yeah, it's exactly that story. He volunteered for the job, he came and beat the living daylights out of me on a regular basis, to the point where I finally woke up and said, no one is going to do this to me again, and mostly I'm not going to do this to me again. Ended the relationship, barely, you know, with my life, as I mentioned, and set out on this path of I'm gonna figure out how to feel good about myself. And I'll tell you that if he hadn't showed up, I don't know if that would have happened. And so the forgiveness totally and completely vanished, and that if I met him on the street now, there would be no, I forgive you. It would be like, I am so sorry. Like, I am so sorry. Because he only did what I needed him to do. He and how bad he must have felt for doing that. And I really got to that place. And you can't force that place. You can't, like force it. But I truly got to this place where I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Like, please forgive me. And I love you, and thank you, thank you. And this is the Ho'oponopono, and I'm probably saying it wrong again, because I often do, prayer or meditation. And that this is what it's truly about. And for those who don't know what that is, so there was an Hawaiian psychiatrist who they called into a high-security psychiatric prison in Hawaii. I don't remember what year it was, and the reason they had called him in is because in this psychiatric prison it was very, very bad, and the inmates were killing each other, and they couldn't keep guards, and the recidivism was just very, very high, and they were desperate. And so they called him in, the psychiatrist whose name escapes me at the moment, and he never met with any of the inmates. This is one of the most remarkable things. He would go in a room, and one by one, over the course, I think it was a couple of years, he would just read through their files and take total responsibility for what he read, because he realized, he knew, that if it was in someone else, then it was in him. And what he would do is he would do the prayer, and he would, with each inmate, never meeting them, just with their file, he would say, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And lo and behold, one by one, they started getting better. And they started being released. And within a few short years, that whole psychiatric prison was closed down because there were more guards than there were inmates. And it was an absolute miracle.
Isn't that a wonderful story, though?
Yes.
And it's that love that comes from forgiveness.
So there's a sense of responsibility and forgiveness. I've never really seen it as clear as I am right now. And that in order to really forgive someone, there's a sense of that I'm responsible for what I create in my life.
We all are, ultimately. Yes. No one is more responsible for ourselves. And that's part of the forgiveness, is to forgive yourself for not taking responsibility of your life.
That
is one of the steps.
Yeah.
And like we talked earlier, and you just related, the layers that we have to go through for that forgiveness.
Yes.
Like we talked, is the skin on an onion. Mm. As you think you have everything taken care of, and then you have to, you know, as you become more aware, then a layer clears, and you see, oh, there was a connection at this level.
Right.
And then you get through, and then there's a connection at that level.
Yes.
And what we need to not lose sight of is, they were different connections.
Right.
It wasn't that you hadn't forgiven them. You'd forgiven them at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to remember that just because it shows back up again, it just means that there were deep connections to this person.
Right.
And it has to start with truly forgiving yourself in order to have the courage to forgive someone else. And what worked for me, it really wasn't to go to that person and tell them I'm sorry what I've done to them. You don't even need to confront them. You just actually do it in your heart.
Absolutely, because it gets there.
Yes.
You know, we don't. I mean, it's wonderful if we actually have a physical contact and words are exchanged. But you're absolutely right. Even if someone's passed over, mm-hmm. you can still forgive them and ask for their forgiveness too.
Oh yes, and that's how it works.
Right there.
And so you don't. You just have to tell yourself, mm-hmm. "I forgive them." And one of the tricks to it really is to know when you're done is when you stop telling that story.
Mm.
When you quit, you quit thinking of them, and
right.
they quit coming to your, picturing in your mind. And if you can just get to that point, you've really accomplished a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that when they do appear, that you feel love instantly, and not resentment or anger or hostility. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that we feel those lower vibration emotions is because we are afraid. We are afraid that we can be hurt by someone else. And we can only be afraid that we can hurt by someone else when we forget who we are. When we remember that we are these beautiful divine beings, that we are God incarnate, that there's nothing to hurt. It's impossible to be hurt.
I think another way to say what you're saying is to admit that we were vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so by not admitting we were vulnerable, then we let that happen to us.
Mm.
And so part of forgiving is to realize that you had this vulnerability and that mm-hmm. we all hate to admit of what our vulnerabilities are.
Yes.
So it's forgiveness is just the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced in my life.
Yes. It's a beautiful experience when we arrive there.
Yes.
It's a gift to ourselves. It's probably one of the greatest gifts that we can give to ourselves.
Oh, I think it's the ultimate gift.
It's the ultimate gift.
Yes. Because it's your step into love.
Yeah. It looks like we have Brad on line two. Are you there, Brad?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Brad. Welcome to God Uching.
Thank you.
And I understand that you're...
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. I just have a question that I have my own opinions on, but I would kind of like to give it to you, Denise, if I could.
Awesome. I'd love that.
Okay. My question is, do you think it's more effective to lead people to the Lord and enlightenment through verbal quotation and encouragement, or to set an example and let them view one's life and actions who lives through the Spirit and love daily?
It's a great question, Brad. I can see you've thought about it quite a bit, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it really, there's so many people out there that, they know how to speak the words, but they really don't live the words, and they're not models for it. And maybe it's because they're still learning it themselves. I'm sure that's exactly what it is, because we do teach what we need to learn the most. But it really, it's funny because Cal and I just had this conversation earlier. It was about my kids, actually. And it occurred to me a couple of weeks ago that I really don't sit down with them and have, very many spiritual talks. And I can't even remember the last one that I had. And I started questioning that. I'm like, well, maybe I should do that. And, in deep meditation, I was shown, that it doesn't matter what I say to them, because, right now they're teenagers anyway, so they're just, going to block anything out, any advice I give out anyway.
Right.
And so it's the model, it's the model for the word, that they don't need to hear my words. They simply need to have an experience of it. And how do they have an experience of spirituality? How do they have an experience of God? Well, they have that experience through those around them. And it was funny because just a couple of days later, without any prompting from me, my son Travis started talking to me about a very spiritual experience that he was having. And I was like, oh, yes, he's got it. He's got it. And he gets it on his own. And I think that's the point. I think that we can only arrive at God, so to speak. And I kind of like that. We can only arrive at God on our own. And that, others' words or others' verbal guidance really is not what changes us, but rather the model for what that is. Like a lot of people listen to the show. And they hear the words, but beyond the words, I'm hoping that they feel the energy. Like, this is not just talk. This is what we're talking about, living the talk. And so, yes, it's being the model for spirituality. It's being the model for finding God. It's being the model for, you know, living a life of spiritual integrity. And when it comes down to it, I believe that, you know, for all religions across the board, it's really the same. I mean, it comes down to love. It comes down to forgiveness, as we've been talking about today. It comes down to really realizing that we truly are one, and that whatever we do to ourselves or to someone else, we do to the whole. So yes, I think it's how we live our lives, and not what we say. Cal, what would you add to that?
It's been my experience that you really can't step up to that higher level of spirituality until you find forgiveness, because that is one of the main stepping stones. And so I truly say to everyone listening that if you want to, you know, step up and have a higher level of spirituality, is to start with forgiveness. It's the ultimate place.
Absolutely.
And you will, I shouldn't say never, but in my experience, I couldn't get anywhere until I took that step. And it was a big step.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, Brett, I would love to hear what your beliefs are about your question.
Pardon me?
So tell me what it is that you believe about your question.
Well, Denise, it's been my experience that, you know, throughout my upbringing that I was told what I should do because I would fear the alternative if I didn't.
Mm.
And, of course, fear is a powerful motivator, but I think that when someone is curious and motivated for whatever reason, that they see someone that they truly admire or touches them or stands out among their fellow men, I think that that is the way to become introduced or the door opened, particularly for young people. Like you said, you're a teenager. They're very hard to approach or to give advice to, but I think that if they can find you as someone that they're comfortable with or a friend or trust, that I think that's a good way to enlighten or enhance people on a path that works for you as the example.
Well said. And so have you been able to listen to the beginning of the show that we've been talking about forgiveness? I'm not sure when you came on.
No, ma'am. I didn't have that opportunity.
So we've been talking about forgiveness, and you know your question works right into that, because when we don't do what we say we want to do, you know, the discrepancy, the misalignment, that really plays out in many families where, you know, children are taught to be spiritual and to be a certain way, and yet the parents aren't forgiving. Have you seen that at all in your in your lifetime? Yeah.
Don't do as I do as I say.
Exactly. And so I think what we're talking about is, you know, being in alignment with our word and demonstrating that to not just our children but to the world. And I think that one of the ways in which we do that is through the act of forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that truly is this place of freedom.
Well, and it's very powerful because, you know, people offend you or you think they wrong you, and you have this disposition between you, say at work, and then all of a sudden this person steps up and says, I was wrong, and I apologize. Hope you can forgive me. And before long, you're best buddies at work. It's been my experience, but it takes courage to do this.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it takes so much courage to admit that we're wrong?
Well, generally we have peers, whether we're at home or among our friends or at work, and I think we want to fit in. We're a herd animal by nature, and I think that we're afraid that we may lose our place where we think we want to fit in. But when we show courage and show forgiveness, we stand apart, and we're basically alone unless we're fortunate enough to be with these type of people at work, other than it's been my experience that generally if I can be the leader and show this, then they kind of tend to come out, these people with the same heart, but it generally takes courage for one person to manifest it, and then other people seem to feed on it if they're in the right place.
It's contagious.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Love is contagious. Love is contagious.
Oh, yes. Forgiveness is, forgiveness is people are, by nature we offend one another at some point or another, no matter what our relationship.
That's true.
To heal is to forgive, which is to, build and grow love.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautifully said, Brad.
Thank you
so much for calling in and sharing your great question and your wisdom as well.
Well, thank you, Denise, and it's been my pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Please call back on another show. I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Good night.
Yeah, I love what Brad said.
Oh, yeah. Get right to the point.
Yeah.
And somebody has to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Set the pace. Stand up.
Be the model.
Mm-hmm.
Be the model for love. Be the model for God.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure we have many listeners out there that have different opinions of Jesus. But regardless, I would say that this is an archetype or being that stood for exactly what we're talking about. I mean, he showed us the way to God. He showed us the way to ascend to God, and that is through forgiveness.
As these atrocities were happening to him.
As these atrocities were happening
mm-hmm.
to him. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, as he was hanging on the cross, he, mm-hmm. he forgave everyone.
Yes. Yes.
And none of them really realized the gift that they were given. And today's society, I think we can all see the gift.
I believe the gift was for now. I don't believe that the gift was for back then. I believe the gift was for now. And in fact, it truly was a gift that he was killed, because if he wasn't killed, we wouldn't be talking about this now.
Right.
If he was just this great spiritual being, maybe he could end history, maybe not. But because of, how he was killed and why he was killed and all that we get to have this model of forgiveness, of ascension, truly has stayed with us through centuries.
Well, actually, that's what Joseph Campbell says, is that all the great myths written
mm-hmm.
in the past were meant for today.
Mm.
And that to find our answers
yes.
are in the great myths, the writings of the great myths.
Mm-hmm.
And that to find who we are, we just have to study the great myths.
Mm.
Because it's like a roadmap. And like you say, it's for today.
Yes, it's for today. It's for now. That's the point.
Everything that shows up in our life is for today.
It's for today.
Mm-hmm.
It's for today. And that everything is leading us to awakening.
Yes.
And when I say awakening, awakening can mean so many different things. But what I'm talking about right now is to this sense of love, self-love and communal love and love that just spreads out through the entire world, kind of like the fifth dimensions talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you think we get to the level of forgiveness?
Mm.
How do we forgive somebody?
So there's many ways to forgive. Ultimately, we can just arrive at forgiveness, spontaneously. And ultimately, we will arrive at forgiveness. I mean, it's inevitable. But it may not happen in this lifetime.
Yeah.
But to accelerate the process a little, which I think is what you're really asking me, because forgiveness is inevitable. When, that's your choice. One of the greatest tools that I use for forgiveness is that I simply ask God, show me a greater truth about this. And I sit quietly and I wait to be shown. So instead, because you can't talk yourself into forgiveness. If somebody's going around saying, oh, I have forgiven my mother, I've forgiven my sister, whatever, you know that they haven't forgiven them, because
no.
Forgiveness, the concept of forgiveness completely disappears once forgiveness has happened. So if I'm going, oh, I forgive you, that means I haven't, because I'm still holding on to the thing that I think I need to forgive you about.
Telling the story.
Yeah, I'm still telling the story. So then forgiveness hasn't happened. So you can't force forgiveness. It's impossible. So this approach of show me, you know, God, show me a greater truth, and you sit quietly in meditation, you just ask to be shown. That means releasing your story about it. And if you really have the courage to do this, and if you're really ready to forgive, what you notice, what you'll see is layers and layers of truth. You will see an amazing story unfolds that might go back lifetimes or beyond this lifetime. It might be a sacred contract like we were talking about earlier. It could be, you know, a gift to you. It could be many, many, many things. And you know you're done because forgiveness is turned into gratitude. So you might see one layer, okay, well, that's interesting. It might make, you might get information at first that you don't like. Just keep asking. Show me more. Show me a greater truth. Show me a greater truth. Show me a greater truth. And you know that you're done when you arrive at this place of gratitude, like, thank you. Thank you so much for this place where you're asking for forgiveness. Like in my story, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you.
And so what do you say to a person that says, well, I can forgive so-and-so for pushing me out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and I can forgive them for breaking my arm,
mm-hmm.
but that time that they sexually abused me, I can't forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that person?
It's just ask to see a deeper truth. Ask to see a deeper truth. Because I'll tell you that when you really get to the deepest truth, there is nothing to forgive. And what you end up seeing is the other person is completely innocent, yourself is completely innocent, and you understand exactly why things happened the way they did. And it could be in a way, and likely in a way, that you never could have imagined. And so if you still haven't arrived at forgiveness in a particular area, just ask, show me a greater truth, show me a greater truth, show me a greater truth. And it might take 5 minutes or it could take, you know, days. But keep asking, show me a greater truth. And the reason that you might not see it all at once is because you're not ready.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that also becomes like the layers of the onion.
The layers of the onion.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And to get to the core.
To get to the core.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because truly, the thing to forgive is the most unforgivable.
Yes. That if you can forgive the most unforgivable, you truly know what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because that is the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if a person can find that, in that they can find God.
Right. Absolutely, because God is on the other side of forgiveness.
I think that's what a lot of people blame is, how could God let this happen to me?
Right. Yeah, my mother, we just had a conversation the other night, and you know, she's 80-something years old, and she still blames God that, you know, her parents abandoned her when she was 5 years old. And I'm so angry, gosh, if I meet God, I'm going to tell him a thing or two, and yes. But, you know, God is a loving, kind God, and I know it's hard to imagine when these terrible things happen to us, but when we look deep enough, we do see that God truly does love us, and everything that's ever been done has been done out of love.
Well, that comes back to the idea of free agency,
mm-hmm.
that we all have a choice here.
Yes.
And that choice is forgiveness. And truly, forgiveness creates happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You will find your happiness with forgiveness.
Yes, absolutely. Now we have just a few minutes, and we're going to do our prayer circle. Is there anybody you would like to put into the prayer circle?
No, I'd like to have our caller, Bradley.
Bradley,
put
absolutely.
Into our call circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And anyone else?
My mother.
Mother?
She goes through her surgery.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Cool.
And even my brother.
And your brother. Of course, yes. Your brother. Of course, your brother.
He should
Come
be
right
first.
In there. Yes. And so as you're listening to this, I invite you to put yourself and anyone else into the prayer circle. And I want you to close your eyes if you're in a safe place and imagine a beautiful big golden light and all these people entering into this golden light. And maybe it's somebody that you want to forgive. That would be a good person to put into the golden light as well. And remember to put yourself in. And I put the world in as well. And imagine that this beautiful golden light surrounds these people and begins to enter into each of them, that the golden light is moving through their skin and through their cells. and moving through their body from head to toe and toe to head, completely returning them to wholeness and health, returning them to who they really are. And imagine yourself that this golden light is going through you from head to head, every cell in your body filled with golden light of health and wellness, of wholeness, that you are whole and healed even now as you hear these words, that you are perfect. And see yourself and see those who you wish to provide healing for as perfect and powerful beings. And know that at any time you can put yourself into this prayer circle or anyone else, that it's always here and available to you, for you. And take a deep breath and say, it is done, it is done, it is done. And thank God for this return to wholeness. Beautiful. And Cal, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful conversation with me.
Well, thank you again. It's my honor.
My honor. Thank you. Thank you. And so I'd like to end Goddardji with this thought, and that is, that there's nothing to forgive. That when you look deep enough and you see the truth at this deepest level, that you truly are innocent. And everyone else is innocent too. That you are pure and perfect. And that your being, your God self, cannot be harmed or injured or compromised or sacrificed in any way ever. No matter what you perceive happening to you in life, you are perfect. You are perfect right now. And you can forgive yourself in your divine perfection, because there's nothing to forgive. Please visit me on my website at nanice.com. That's nanice.com for tons of free articles on enlightenment and awakening and forgiveness and love and God and everything else. And sign up for Divine Inspirations, a daily email that will inspire you back to God and help you remember who you really are. And while you're there, email me. Let me know who you are and what prayers you need or are asking for, or what you'd like to hear on Goddardji. And while you're there, take the pledge. It will change your life and help you change the world. Until next time, you have been listening to Goddardji, and I love you. Have a beautiful week.
Just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless frights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. To the mountains, I slept in the streets, searched every great mind, but no one did I meet. I searched every house in the eyes of those who knew, but only to realize there weren't even a few. Endlessly I searched through all this facade, but all I ever found was just a second-hand God. I was looking for God in all the wrong ways. I thought I found Him once or twice, but He never stayed. Star-eyed baby of mine, open your mind, open your eyes. It's time to recognize that a second-hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cry out in the night, fears and tears and endless fights. I'll hold your hand if you set you free. It's not hard when you believe. narrow, where can my little heart go? It's dying fast when I thought it would grow. Then somebody whispered these words in my ear. I've got something to tell you that you want to hear. I thought it Mother Mary, an angel, a guide. I said, show yourself to me, now why continue to hide? He said, the answer you've been seeking is not outside. The way to get to paradise is right inside. No place to hide and no one else you could be. Why couldn't I see? You've always answered my cry. Now who am I? Why did it take me so long to buy? A second-hand God was all I could find. Until I stopped and turned the journey inside. Synchronicity rings true. It's now I finally see. It only been me, I shoot my destiny. Star eyed, baby, it's mine. You've opened your mind, you've opened your eyes. Just now you've recognized that a second hand God is just mirrors and lies. You cried out in the night, fears and tears and endless fright. I held your hand, you set you free. It's not hard, now you believe. It's not hard, now